Hey, hi, and welcome to our new episode of Hockey5.tv. Our guests for today are two of the world's greatest players. Robert van der Horst needs no introduction for the hockey fans, but you're going to get a short one anyway, Robert. Voted the best junior player in the world in 2005, three times the best player in the Dutch Hoofdklasse and best player in the world in 2015. Captain of Oranje Rood, a new Dutch club, but the heir to the Oranje Zwart legacy. With Oranje Zwart, he won four Dutch titles and he won the EHL in 2015. Mats Grembus is supposed to be our other guest for today. Mats is having some difficulties logging in, but we hope that he will join our show later on during the show. He is a two-time national title winner in Germany with his team of Rot-Weiss Köln. And he's chasing his first ever win in the EHL as the captain of his team. Last summer, he returned from Rio with a bronze medal, and there is no doubt he will be one of the leaders in the German team going to Tokyo. Floris Geerts is the other one you see down here, and he will be the host for our talk show. Floris is the hockey commentator in Belgium for the Belgian TV. And if he needs rest from our fast-paced game of hockey, he also likes to do some TV work for Champions League and Belgian football. But today we talk hockey. So, gentlemen, the main topic for today will be the Euro Hockey League entering the final four phase in just a couple of weeks. Floris, I suppose you want to start with the games from last weekend, but
as always, we start with the games of last weekend. Robert, I presume you don't have the best feelings of the game yesterday. You guys drew in the most dramatic fashion possible. Can you, for the people who didn't see any footage, can you explain what happened?
Well, yeah, I can. And indeed, it isn't the best topic to talk about, but okay, here we go. We were fifth in the league. Kampong was our opponent. The Kampong was fourth in the league. And there was 1 point difference, so we knew we had to win to make the playoffs in the Dutch league. Obviously, we won three titles in a row, so we were really keen to come into the playoffs and defend our title. But unfortunately, in the dying seconds, we had a corner against, and that corner became a stroke in the end. So, it was a great atmosphere with a disappointing result, and we draw the game. So we aren't able to defend our title.
That's pretty, but there's also... Now you won't be competing in the EHL next year. How big is that loss as well?
Well, it's a big disappointment for us as a team, but also for us as a club. We had a great KO16 with the club. The first time ever Oranje Rood had a big event like this. They managed like really, really great. It was a great weekend, and they got a lot of credits from the organization as well. So the ambition was to do it in a few more years, like in next year and the year after, just to organize the EHL. And because of our loss and not making the playoffs, there probably will not be an EHL on Oranje Rood next year. So that's a big disappointment for the club as well.
But for a sportsman,
disappointment for the EHL as well, maybe, yeah, because it was a tremendous organization you guys put up there in Eindhoven.
Yeah.
If I can just interject again here quickly, Floris. Do you think, Robert, that as a defending EHL champion, you should have the right maybe to defend your title next year, even though you're not qualified through the normal?
Well, I should say yes now. But, that at least gives us a chance to come in. Yeah, well, I know in a few years ago in the Champions League football, they had the discussion as well, where Liverpool won the Champions League and didn't manage to qualify for Champions League, and they had a chance to come in again. So yeah, my sporting heart says yes, but there are also some rules and some things, and that's not up to me. But at this moment, I should say yes for sure.
Yeah, there's also this season's EHL Final Four with where Oranje Rood still competes. Now you don't have any games for a month. How will Oranje Rood prepare for the Final Four?
Well, it's hard. It's really hard. We know this before. So, besides want to make the playoffs, it's also bad for our preparation now. I don't know exactly how our weeks are looking now. I just had a program for the first week, and that's like three trainings and a gym session without a match. So that's a risk for us now. We need to look for proper opponents to to compete and to prepare for the EHL. So yeah, I don't know, man. I hope some teams are not planning holidays and trying to have a nice game against us and have a good experience at Oranjerood or somewhere else. And I hope there will be some teams trying to help us out and create the right vibe for us to be successful in the EHL.
Mm-hmm. When I explain EHL to my football colleagues, I always refer as EHL as hockey's Champions League. Does that comparison stand in the Netherlands, or is the Hoofdklasse more important than EHL?
Well, it's a big prize to win. It's the top level of European hockey. All the European clubs are coming together, and you play for the highest title to get in European hockey. But to be honest, the Dutch league still has more. How do you say it? It feels more important to win than the EHL. Some teams manage to win the double, like we, for example. And then if you win the double, so the national championship and the Euro Hockey League, then it's like the most special feeling ever. So it's a big prize for sure. Yeah.
What should change to the format of EHL if for players to win it, to be eager? Or maybe the desire they want to desire, their desire has to be bigger to win the EHL than the National League title.
It's all about the effort, I believe. Now you play like 2 times, 3.5 months in your league, and then you start playing playoffs. And normally with the EHL, so for us, we just played the KO 16. We haven't got the first round. So if you do well, you can win the title in 4 games. And I think that's not enough. The effort is not enough to win it. So I suggest just maybe go in the Champions League model as well, where you just play through the weeks an EHL game, and go to Belgium, for example, to play against Dragon, or travel all the way to Hamburg to play USA, and vice versa. So you create more like the big challenge, the big effort through the whole league, and play more games and make more contribution as a club and as a team to win it.
Now, of course, it costs. The finances has to be,
of course,
more enormous. And for Dutch teams and for Belgian teams, that won't be a problem. But for Polish teams, or that will be. But you like to play the first round, of course. If every team would play it, of course you would like to play it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And in the Dutch league now, we are going to starting with a cup league as well, besides the normal league. And I think that's good. It's not all on one location, which makes it strong as a platform. But I think you have to go across the world, or across Europe, or across your country to be able to play and perform on different kind of fields, and no home or disadvantage, you know. Even international hockey is going now to home and away games. I think that's really good. It makes it more professional. Your calendar gets even more busy, but it's more divided through the year, you know, instead of 1 week AHL, 2 weeks playoffs, 6 weeks Hockey India League. Mm-hmm. I think it needs to be just all the way, every time.
What do you like the best for, about the EHL right now? You already said what they must change, but what do you like the best for now?
To play in like a really short term, like really big games is pretty good. You're in a situation where you can play on a Friday against Amsterdam, and then 2 days later, for example, against Terrassa. And yeah, that's great, just to have all the big hockey together. And I believe it's also nice to see the development in our sport. You know, every time there's a new rules and there's a new change of play, or different kind of techniques or skills or rule types who are coming together. And that's good. That's good for a hockey player. It's good for your own experience as well, instead of just playing every week the same hockey, like Holland against Holland, or Holland against, or Belgium against Belgium, you know what I mean? So, yeah, it's good to have some change up through the season, and the EHL is pretty good for it.
And for non-international players, some teammates, winning the AHL is probably the highest thing they ever will do in their hockey career.
Sorry, is that a question?
No, it's just something I was thinking. Those players, it's kind of interesting to compete on an international level when you don't play international hockey. You already said EHL tested some new rules. A few weeks ago, EHL president Hans-Erik Tijd launched the idea of awarding 2 goals for a field goal and even allowing field goals from outside the D. What are your opinions about that?
Well, I don't think we need to go for 2 goals as a field goal. I think the penalty corner is still like a really nice thing about hockey. It gives a special feeling, and especially for us where we have maybe the best drag flipper in the world with Mink van der Weerde, it's pretty hard then to only get 1 goal out of it. But just to be average, I think the corner is like a nice thing about hockey. Yes, sometimes it's dangerous. Maybe we should think about that. But it's nice to create a special moment in a game where everything stops and you just have this battle between a goalie and a drag flipper, for example. Thinking about maybe scoring from everywhere, I'll probably like it, actually. It's good. I think it makes the game more open. Why only score in like 16 meters or 40 point something? I don't know how big the circle is. Just make it open and see if you can score from everywhere. I think it might be a good suggestion, yes.
More dangerous if you start really, you got some hard hitters in the game, and a truly hard hit just hit outside of the 25, going up in the air towards the goal, that could create some danger.
It could, but even in the circle, it creates danger. And if I look to the transition hockey made in the last 10 years, it's getting more physical, it's getting more frontal, there are coming more hits. Referees allowing more things. Rising balls aren't like really looked over as always dangerous, you know. So our game is changing. Our game is getting more physical. It's getting more dangerous. So then this development is just normal for me. Maybe we should even think about getting protection instead of talking about what's dangerous or not.
Do you like it that the game is getting more physical? I watched your game last Sunday, and there was a pretty bad tackle made on you by a player from Kampong doing a sliding and taking you out completely. You were hurt at that moment as well, we saw. Okay, the standard penalty for that is a yellow card and 10 minutes because of physical play. But in football, this would be something completely normal. Do you think that we should be allowed to play
red card on football? I believe it would be a red card on football, actually. So
yeah, maybe this particular foul. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But normally, do you think that like maybe in football, we should be allowing tackles or more physical contact?
Well, to look over the way the referees are whistling the game internationally, it's like if you make a stick tackle, normally you get a heavier punishment than when you block somebody. So if you look over the physical part of our sport, probably the way they are allowing physical tackles is a thing we need to look over. Like I said, the game is changing, and that's also because of the way of refereeing and the rules that they are involving. I'm Dutch school, so I preferred the nice technical way of play. To create a nice way of just connecting and involving each other in the game, where I see like the Aussie style and the Belgium style as well, the Kiwi style, where it's like more getting into the physical part. Sometimes I see players who are not really skillful anymore, but only like are there because of their physics. But there, here I go, I'm Dutch style, so I'm always looking over the technical part. But I prefer playing more technical hockey than the physical part. Yeah.
What rule would you like to change and why?
I would like to change especially the block, like really blocking people. Sometimes almost like a hockey check, ice hockey check, and the referees are allowing more of those kind of tackles. And even coaches are starting to think, okay, we need to block, we need to bump in, we need to make sure that we're blocking lines because otherwise they can't go through. So then you get coming to a mindset, all right, I need to stop the ball or the man, but not both. So if you're in that mindset, it probably won't be good for our game, and it's getting more dangerous every time. Oh, thankfully, there are not like really big injuries, and that's because of the development of the hockey player being an athlete. But hey, come on, we're still playing a hockey game, an ice hockey game.
Of course. Is that something you guys consider when you're playing EHL, when you're playing, for instance, a Belgian team who plays more physical style than Dutch teams?
Well, you try to manage. You always think about your own strength, and you know where the strength of your opponents are. Yes, the Dutch hockey is also going into a more physical part of hockey, because we need to, yeah, go with the rest of the world. Actually, the rest of the world is better in that than the Dutch are. So, yeah, you try to prepare on that kind of duels and that kind of physical part. But you know where your strengths are as a hockey team, and our strength is just to play hockey and to hold the ball very well. We have got like a really nice, So we got two Pakis, we got an Austrian, we got a few Dutch guys, you know. So we're there. We got an Argentina player. So we try to engage all the cultures together, and that's playing hockey, and that's where we go. So that's where we're focusing.
Mm-hmm. If you allow me to come back to the international calendar also, it's you already mentioned it a little bit before. It's going to be a really crowded calendar, especially for the players playing international hockey with the new home and away league. There is the HIL in mm-hmm. India. There is the EHL here in Europe, and all of the traditional tournaments we still have. How do you think? Because it's becoming more and more a physical game. It's also becoming about managing physically the stress on your body as an athlete from the very busy calendar. How do you think that will evolve?
Well, thankfully we all managed in the past several years how to work out with our body. The calendar was pretty okay. You get some rest, and when you need to be at your high, you know where you can be at your low, so that's pretty all right. But now when you go to a home and away leagues, traveling is coming, and traveling costs a lot of energy. So I think we need to be really careful in our calendar. How do we manage the home and away games? What will be the first game after you traveled very hard and played the game as well? So it needs to be really, really well thought about it, because otherwise we're getting into trouble for sure.
And how will you manage, for instance, okay, you got that part and you're absolutely right. The traveling part will be something that will be very key to manage if you want to play an entire season. But even if you're playing the home games, because half of the games will be home games, these will probably be games played during the week, Tuesday night or Wednesday night. And then again, you have to play the next Sunday, you have to play your normal competition game. Is that something that is manageable for you guys?
Well, it's always good to play games. Eh? We always love to play games. Even though I prefer to play more games than training. So that's good for us. On the other hand, I would like to talk more about where is Roots taking the initiative for what? Like, if I see over hockey over the last years, the international calendar was, preferable comparing to the normal competition leagues. Europe has like really strong competition league. Australia doesn't. India doesn't. You know, so who's in charge of what? If I look to over football, there's just like the competition are leading, and they make room as just like normal football competitions for the international games and international tournaments. But in hockey, we start, okay, then there's an international tournament, then there's a national tournament, then there's Hockey India League. Hey, and the European competitions, just see what you can manage. So England is choosing to get their players out of the league. Belgium isn't making a problem that players sometimes are not there. Germany, same story, but in Holland, we all get paid by our clubs, and the club is leading, so we all always are in the wrong situation. Okay, do I need to choose now for my national team? Do I need to choose for my competition team? Oh, I actually want to go to the Hockey India League as well, but then I'll miss a competition game in my country. So, I mean, it's so busy. I think we need to create
European Hockey Federation make a stand towards FIH and make it clear, okay, our competition system is so important for our game, for the progress of young players.
Yeah.
We need to work things out.
They have to, because I think, because now we have the Hockey India League. For example, Dubai or Qatar says, hey, that's good and nice, the Hockey India League. We want to do it as well. And you know what? We're going to bring more money in than the Hockey India League. Then I don't think there will be a Dutch or Belgium or whatever league with the top players in anymore, because they choose to go for the money in Hockey India. They go for the money in Dubai and they go on holiday to Australia and they play international hockey. And then the whole our club system is done. So I think in Europe we need to look over and even in a schedule as being a hockey competition, you know, maybe we need to shorten it up as well, make it more commercially attractive for players and crowd as well, because yeah, it's too full now at this moment.
No, it's a shame that Mats Grambus is not being able to join our talk show tonight because he's having some internet problems. Because okay, they already have the experience of playing multiple games in a weekend. Is that something that you think would be the solution for us? Is for a Belgian competition or a Dutch competition, or yeah, the German competition is already doing it.
Yeah,
make it more short, make it more intense, make double weekends, stuff like that. Absolutely. To be able to manage the international calendar.
Absolutely, yeah, I really do. Create two or three games in a week isn't a problem for top players in this level anymore. And now you see we're creating two times 3.5 months just to play games on every Sunday and train 4, 5, 6 times a week, sometimes 8 if you're in the national program as well. And then the playoff starts, and in 2.5 weeks, all the players are gone.
Yeah, where, it's
do,
a
shame. Where do you play hockey for? You play hockey for the finals and play for playoffs, and not for a Sunday for us away against Almere, with all due respect.
So they have to shorten the regular season and brighten or make the playoffs a bit bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, I should suggest that if I was in that position, but okay. I'm not. I just have to show
Robert,
up.
You're freezing up on my screen, hopefully. Okay, oh. You're back.
No, it's okay. So, maybe one of the last topics that we usually do in our show, Robert, is the predictions for next week. Okay, there is no next week, unfortunately, for Oranje Rood. Who do you think is going to win the EHL? In the beginning of June, I think that will be a tough one to choose for me.
Yeah. Well, I think there are four sides who all can win the Euro Hockey League, especially Dragon, of course, playing at home. I think they should be the favorite because you have your home advantage, and with the crowd behind them, it's just like, yeah, like plus one on the field. They're like really good, they're really inspiring, and the crowd is amazing, and I really love the club Dragon, so I think it will be hard to beat them. But hey, they're starting in the semi-final against a German team who love to be the underdog. So that will be pretty hard for them. And I've seen Cologne play, and they played very good hockey against Kampong especially. And they have some like really future stars as well in their team. So it's really balanced. They still got the good old Christopher Seller, who's like really inspired me as well through over the years. So yeah, they're a very good side. Now, of course, us and... Oranje Rood is just having a crack and a disappointment weekend, but they will be coming back really strong and really hungry to go for that one chance and title they can play for. And we'll probably be there. And yeah, Wimbledon is really surprising there. It's really like unbelievable how they came in. Actually, I didn't expect that with their coach. I know him. He played for a few years in Amsterdam. He's a really good guy, and I think he's managing the team very well, is doing a good job. So, yeah, our semi-final will also be a very hard game, and we'll see what happens. It will be two games in 2 days, so it will be, very tight as well. And we'll see who manages the best, but I can't really predict who will be the champion. Sorry.
But who's your favorite?
Of course, Oranje Rood is my favorite. Of course, I trust the boys, I trust the team, I trust the club, I trust everyone, and. The way we played over the last years and the way we can play in big games and big finals is something is really reliable, and I think we can really manage to be successful. But yeah, like I said, Dragon is also a really big good side with good guys, and Thomas Briel is coming back to us, so it will be a very nice game for him as well.
I can imagine. What do you think? Who do you think was the most impressive during the KO 16 out of the teams that you're facing in the Final Four now?
Yeah, I think Wimbledon was. They are pretty surprising the way they came in the semi-final. Nobody expected, I think. And they did an amazing job. And they have some really good players. And like I said, the coach is also very good, I believe. So, they show some good hockey. And I think we, as Oranjero, need to be really good prepared to win over them. Dragon and Cologne are teams where you can expect that they are coming into semi, so we'll see. I think it will be a cracking weekend.
Based upon the performance of the KO 16, who do you think will be the MVP of the DHL next month as a player? Yeah. I know it's a difficult question.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not really looking over individuals. In top teams, when you have a good team, every day another player will stand out. And I can't tell you in the beginning which player will stand out. It's just the moment of the day, I believe. And I don't think we can say anything about last KO 16 because it's a totally different weekend, totally different period in the year compared to the Final Four which are coming. So it's also like, we say the form of the day. Who's got the best form and the best vibe of the day, and then we'll see it. But probably every team you know which are the top players, and also who are commercially interesting to give those MVP things. You know how it works.
Absolutely.
Now you guys are missing the Dutch playoffs. Is the pressure on winning the EHL from inside the club bigger?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. The club is always very supporting to us. The board is just like managing everything perfect for us, and they're not really pressuring us. They're just wanting to. They just want us to have a good time, just to play the best hockey we can, and to be as the best ambassadors of our club and our city and our country as we can. And they are really supportive. I mean, there's not really much pressure. We all know the more pressure comes, the less successful you can. So create just an atmosphere where everything is really well organized, so everyone can perform in their best as they can. And then we'll see, may the best team win. That's more the mindset.
Okay. And from the players, do you see this the EHL bit as a revenge for yourself to win that or to perform there? By missing the Dutch playoffs?
We're still in a mode where we are like over disappointed. We haven't seen each other yet, but I know there will be a revenge feeling, like you said. It will be. We are still. So sometimes they say, "Are you guys still hungry?" But of course we're still hungry because we know how it is to win a title, and it's nothing better, and there's no better feeling than winning a major tournament or a major league. So the hunger is still there. It's even to get the team together, get everything on the right path again, and to make sure we'll be successful. And then we'll manage to be there and as hungry and as best as we can.
Okay, if you allow me the final question, Robert, because I think we've reached our time already now. Why should the public come to Braschaat in the early June, 3rd and 4th of June, to watch you guys play the EHL?
Well, like I said, there are four clubs in Europe who are fought really hard to be there. They play immensely good hockey. And at Dragon, there is a venue and an atmosphere which is always inspiring. I visit sometimes some league games of Dragon as well. And they're making a nice party of it. It will be cracking for European hockey to have a side as Dragon and the club as Dragon organizing the Euro Hockey League. So you get good hockey. I hope you get good weather. You get a great atmosphere. You get amazingly crowd, young, old, thin, fat, whatever. It will be amazing. And I hope everyone do show up and have a great weekend with us. And let's just make it really special.
Okay. Thanks very much, Robert and Floris, for getting on the show today. Very sorry, Mats, that you couldn't join us. We should really get better internet in Germany. We're really disappointed about the internet in Germany today. but maybe we'll manage it another time again. And until then, thanks. We'll be back next Monday. And until then, bye-bye, everybody.